You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Yes, hello, welcome along to the Punt Podcast from William Hill. We're looking ahead to the midweek international action with England making the trip to Germany. We're also going to have a chat about some of the Premier League markets, given that we have a break from Premier League football this week. My name is Mark Walton. I'm joined in the studio by Sam Norris. How are you, Sam?
I'm very good, Mark. How are you?
Yes, not too bad at all. We'll start with a little bit of a chat about the Premier League, and then we'll get stuck into England's trip to Germany. Big talking point from the weekend is the pressure once again heaped on Arsene Wenger. A poor result for them at the Hawthorns. They lost 3-1 against West Brom. That moves them down to sixth in the table. It's now 5-6 each of two, whether Wenger will be in charge on the first day of the Premier League season 2017-2018. No, 5-6, and yes, 5-6. It's continuing to get worse and worse for Arsene Wenger. Many people saying that he should go now. Although the fans, ironically, are quite split at Arsenal. They had two banners fly over the Hawthorns. One was saying Wenger out, one was supporting Arsene Wenger. It's kind of just sums up the whole situation at the Emirates, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It's beginning to get increasingly worse. And I think, I suppose, that the problem for Wenger chiefly is things aren't going as well on the pitch anymore. Because in seasons gone by, a lot of fans haven't been satisfied with a top four finish. And now they don't even look as though they're going to get that. So I think the fact that the team aren't playing very well is heaping more and more pressure on them. They've actually lost four of their last five now, Arsenal. And I think they're like 16th in the form table. And you can't afford to lose points at that end of the table. I mean, you just can't really see where teams around them are going to drop as many points as they have. And, you know, they've been beaten by Chelsea in that run, fair enough. They've been beaten by Liverpool, who we know have got an excellent record against the teams in and around them. But it's the defeats to Watford, it's the defeats to West Bromwich Albion at the weekend that are making Wenger's job very, very difficult. It's interesting that some of the back pages of the papers, though, this morning said that he apparently told Tony Pulis after the match at the weekend that he was going to stay. Because for a long time over the last few months, it sort of looked more and more like he was going to go. But if he does sign a new contract, it's going to send some sections of the fans absolutely ballistic. And I like Wenger, to be fair, but I think it's almost getting to the stage now where the whole thing is having too much of a negative impact on the club, and the repercussions of giving him a new contract would almost be too detrimental for me. So I just wonder whether he'll be there next year. Mm. I'm not entirely sure that he will, despite what he has or hasn't said to Tony Pulis, but I think it's beginning to really, really affect them as a club. Arsenal Fan TV doesn't help. They're not coming across well on social media. In the wider opinion, I think people's opinion on Arsenal fans at the moment is the rest of the country laughing at them, aren't they?
Yeah. In a way. I suppose the problem Wenger has this time around is there's been fan unrest probably at the back end, or during the last three or four seasons. But the players have always been behind him, and they've always still got the results. Whereas you look at the performances recently, there's the dispute with Alexis Sanchez, which is their best player at the club. They need him to be playing on side, and he doesn't seem to be. And the defending and the whole attitude at the weekend at the Hawthorns was just terrible. The three, well, certainly two of the West Brom goals were just abject defensively.
Yeah, correct. And Wenger will have been desperate for his players to produce a response, and as you quite rightly say there, they haven't. Whether or not that's because they're not playing for Wenger or not, I know we've had, when the Chelsea players seemingly weren't playing for Mourinho, Leicester this season, why have they been so resurgent since Ranieri's gone? There may be a little bit of that happening, and if the dressing room has gone and the players aren't playing for him, that is nigh on impossible to turn around, really, for a manager. As I say, almost impossible to do.
He's, as we say, 5-6 not to be there, 5-6 to be there, so market can't really decide. From a purely hypothetical stance then, next permanent Arsenal manager, we do have that market out on site. Thomas Tuchel, the market leader there at 2-1. Allegri is 4-1. It's 10-1 for Eddie Howe. Luis Enrique, 10-1 as well. 12-1, Patrick Vieira. 14s for Brendan Rodgers and Jurgen Löw. 16-1 for Leonardo Jardim and Rafa Benitez, 20-1 bar those. How much of an opinion who's going to take over if Wenger does depart?
I mean, I don't know, obviously, but I'm surprised to see Thomas Tuchel as the favourite in that market. I know that Arsenal have had to come out on Monday morning and deny that they've already made contact with Borussia Dortmund, but for me, I don't think Thomas Tuchel is doing that much of an amazing job at Borussia Dortmund anyway. They're not in the title race. Granted, they're not very often in the title race. But they'd like to be a little bit closer to Bayern Munich. I mean, they're not, you know, they're always in the race for second, but they're not normally pressing Bayern the whole way. They're third in the table. They're behind Red Bull Leipzig. They're only a point clear of Hoffenheim in fourth. So by no stretch of the imagination has Thomas Tuchel secured Champions League football for Borussia Dortmund next season yet. So I'm very surprised to see that he is seemingly the man that the market are tipping to take over. Allegri makes a lot of sense at 4-1. He's cut from quite similar cloth to Antonio Conte. They've managed a lot of the same clubs. They're managing in a very, very similar style. And we know how successful Conte's been this season. So Allegri at 4-1 would make more sense to me than Thomas Tuchel. If I was an Arsenal fan, the man I'd want us to be going hell for leather for would be Diego Simeone at 20-1. From the look of the betting, he's fairly unconsidered. But I mean, the job he did, particularly last season at Atletico Madrid, really, really impressed me. And I think he's one of the top four or five managers in the world. I mean, most of them manage in the Premier League nowadays. But for me, outside of the Premier League, he's the best of the bunch. So Diego Simeone, for me, would be the man I'd want as an Arsenal fan at 20-1. I think if you're having a punt in this market, Allegri makes much more sense than me at 4-1 than Thomas Tuchel does at 2s, given that if Dortmund don't finish in the top three and get an automatic Champions League spot, which could very well happen, as I say, they're only a point clear, then surely Tuchel can't be on their mind.
Okay. What about Eddie Howe? Where does he come into it? Because obviously he's turned Bournemouth into a very good footballing side, yep. Ball on the deck kind of football that Arsenal would like to play. He's often been touted as the next Arsenal manager should Arsene Wenger step down. He's 10-1 in the market if you just want a little stab at something.
Definitely, yeah. I think they might be waiting, I think, Arsenal, to see how he deals with managing a club slightly higher up the Premier League pyramid but without going straight to the top. So, you know, if he was to get a job at Stoke or Southampton in the next coming years, and then maybe appoint him then, should he succeed there? Because it's a big step up to go from managing Bournemouth to a terrific Championship campaign. He's kept them in the Premier League. They're playing good football. But it's a big step up to go from that to try and compete for trophies on four fronts as Arsenal want to do it and as they expect to do every single season.
Talking about other departures possibly elsewhere, we'll go to Everton and Romelu Lukaku, who scored again at the weekend, scored a brace. He's in fine goal-scoring form. He's passed the 20-goal mark for the first time. Talk of him not wanting to sign a new contract at Goodison. Ambitions perhaps to try and get into Champions League football somewhere. The market looks like this. To stay at Everton is odds on still, 8-11 after the summer transfer window. 2-1 for Chelsea. Man United 8-1. PSG 12-1. 14's Juventus. 16-1 Dortmund. Any Chinese Super League team is 20-1. Bayern Munich 20s with City and Real, and it's 25-1 on bigger prices for the others.
You'd like to think he's got a few more years in him before he starts thinking about going to China.
Yeah. Well, if he's leaving for ambitious purposes, then yeah. China would be a complete juxtaposition to that, wouldn't it? Purely for money.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. And I think if you look at the teams that are towards the head of the betting there, Mark, as you said, he's got to want to target European competition now. I mean, 21 goals in the Premier League so far this season. Chelsea at 220, he's obviously been there before. They let him go. He'd be the second player that they've had to buy back for a considerable increase after letting Nemanja Matic go a few years ago, and they had to buy him back. I'm sure Chelsea can afford it. Manchester United probably makes a little bit more sense to me because I think United are a side who are going to be desperate for a striker. Not to say that Chelsea would want to turn down Lukaku, but they have already got Diego Costa, who's been very successful there. Manchester United are the side that need a striker, aren't they? I mean, Zlatan's had a wonderful season this year. He'll probably will stay again next year, but at the age of 35, 36, he's not a long-term answer. Wayne Rooney, similarly getting towards the end of his career, and Martial and Rashford are probably too far the other way. They're probably a little bit young in their development to be leading the line for a team like Manchester United. We mentioned Arsenal earlier. I'm surprised that Arsenal aren't in for him because I think he would suit Arsenal down to the ground, and that's something they've been missing in that position. The fact that Arsenal aren't included in the betting at all makes me think that there's probably a reason for that, whether or not someone at Arsenal has come out and said, we absolutely categorically won't be buying Romelu Lukaku, but they miss a striker who I'm still not convinced Alexis Sanchez's best position is to be the furthest man forward. And Olivier Giroud, he probably gets a bit of unfair criticism at times, Giroud, but he's definitely not in the mould of a Lukaku. Lukaku would be a definite improvement on Giroud. So interesting to see that Arsenal aren't included in that list. at all. And I think Manchester United makes more sense to me at 8-1.
I suppose one reason could be if you look at the Premier League table, Everton are only, well, they're on the same number of points as Arsenal. They may be finishing up them, and Arsenal might not have Champions League football, so he wouldn't go there. The only thing that plays in my mind, really, if he were to go to Manchester United, is that Jose Mourinho had him at Chelsea and found him out on loan 2 years running. Would that play on Lukaku's mind, going to join Mourinho at Manchester United? I know he's a different player.
Yeah.
It's a completely different setup, but that would maybe put me off slightly at 8-1.
Possibly, yeah. I mean, it's a good point. I hadn't really considered that, to be fair. But Manchester United haven't secured any sort of European football for next year. Whereas, you know, the teams in around them, Chelsea, they'll definitely be in the Champions League next year. PSG will, Juve will, Dortmund, as mentioned earlier, they might not be. But yeah, United, they still need to either get into that top four or win the Europa League, which looks like it could be their best opportunity of getting in. But yeah, I'd not really consider that about Mourinho. It's whether or not, I suppose, Lukaku, or if you look at it on the flip side, will he be more motivated to go and play for Mourinho and sort of show him the player that he always could have been, the player that maybe Mourinho didn't consider him as in the past? I don't know. It's something I hadn't thought of. But I think we were mentioning as well, off air, Mark, how long his contract actually runs as well, because that to stay at Everton at 8-11, he said that he doesn't want to sign a new deal, but he might be more than happy to play out the rest of his contract, however long that runs to.
I'm not sure Everton will be happy with that though, because he'd leave on a Bosman and they could get quite a large sum for him now, couldn't they?
I suppose so, yeah. That is true.
We'll see how that pans out. Lots of water to go under the bridge with that, of course, over the next few months. Let's talk about the title race. Chelsea, unsurprisingly, 25-1 on to win the Premier League. Man City 20-1, Tottenham 20-1, Liverpool 100-1, Man United 125-1, and it's 250-1 for Arsenal. I'd probably lay you 500-1 about Arsenal winning the Premier League.
I still wouldn't back it. I'd want a zero on that.
We all know, well, Chelsea shouldn't slip up from here. It should be theirs. I suppose there's probably angles in there, though. You could do the betting without Chelsea market and so on and so forth, and the top four finish, which we'll come on to in a moment or two. 6-5 for Spurs without Chelsea, sitting in second place at the moment. Are they the most likely team to follow Chelsea home in the title race?
I do think Spurs are the most likely at the moment. Man City, I'm still not wholly convinced with their defence. Nicolas Otamendi and John Stones always look like they're capable of conceding a goal. Spurs are a lot more solid at the back. They showed at the weekend that they can play without Harry Kane. It'll be interesting to see just how long Harry Kane is out. It obviously goes without saying he's a massively important player for them, but they do have goals elsewhere in the team. I think Spurs are probably the most likely team to chase Chelsea home in that without market at 6-5. But City have to interest at 13-10. Of the other three, I don't think any of them have got the consistency of the top two. So I can't see Liverpool or Manchester United or even Arsenal at a big price winning enough games consistently throughout the course of the season. I think they're more likely to slip up than Spurs and Manchester City are, if you like. And Spurs and Manchester City, of course, have already got the positional advantage as well.
As the market stands there, I'd be all over Manchester City personally at 13-10.
Yeah.
Spurs without Harry Kane, when they come up against real big sides, that could be an issue.
Yeah.
Man City have the squad, don't they? And I know they concede a lot of goals, but they, for me, still should finish second to Chelsea. I thought they'd be favourites in the market. I thought they'd be shorter than 13-10 by somewhere. So,
I mean, I suppose it's they probably couldn't lay that because Spurs have got the 2-point gap. And we did see Manchester City; they hit a bit of a brick wall a couple of weeks ago against Stoke. No disgrace in the points yesterday against Liverpool, but they when they played a team against Stoke, they, as I said, hit a brick wall. They seem to be slamming their head against the wall sometimes against Stoke. I wonder whether with that creative midfield that Spurs have got, whether they might be better suited to unlock sides like that. But I definitely think if you watch the market, you could end up in a situation where you've played both and you're going to win either way.
That's the way to do it.
Yeah, exactly.
What about the top four then? It's obviously wide open in terms of top four places. Man City, you'd say, were there at 10-1 on. Same with Spurs at the same price. Liverpool 2-7, Man United 6-5, Arsenal 11-4, Everton 25-1. I think the latter four clubs that we just mentioned there, it's a little bit harder to figure out.
Yeah, definitely. I think if you're going to be having a bet in this market, for what it's worth, I probably think the current top four will be the top four come the end of the season. But that's a very boring assessment, that is. And I actually think Man United probably are a bit of value in this market. They're 6-5. And if you actually look at the Premier League table, they're on 52 points after 27 games. So they've got two games in hand over Liverpool, who are only 4 points better off. United have got an inferior goal difference, but it's only by 6 goals, which is gettable from now until the end of the season. It's not as if they're sort of 12 goals behind them and then it becomes like another point. If they win those two games in hand, granted, one is against Manchester City, but they'd go up to second in the table, I think. Or third, sorry. They'd be going up into third. And all of a sudden, if they're in third, you'd make them a 2-7 chance for the top four. So it is a big if they win those games in hand. They are bound to show signs of fatigue as the season goes on. They obviously won the EFL Cup, made the quarterfinals of the FA Cup, still in the Europa League, and all the Premier League games as well. So they have played more games of football than the teams in and around them. And that might show towards the end of the season. Plus, I think there'll be a big impetus for them on winning the Europa League, because now that Roma are out, Manchester United are 6-4 favourites for the Europa League. The next two in the betting are Lyon and Schalke. You'd like to think that competition is now theirs for the taking. And the fact that you get Champions League football, Mourinho might think, well, this is actually a slightly easier way to get into the Champions League next year. But they won't be giving up in the Premier League. And as I say, if they win those two games in hand, then they're already in the top four and all of a sudden they look comfortable to stay there. So 6-5 for them, I didn't think was a bad price. You're relying probably on Liverpool to drop points against the sides in the bottom half because they've got that ridiculously good record against the top six. So if Liverpool can drop some points as well as Manchester United winning their games in hand, then they have to be bang in there. And 6-5, I didn't think was an awful price for Manchester United to get in the top four.
Some people may laugh me out of the room for this next comment, but 11-4 Arsenal in that market for the same reasons. They have two games in hand over Liverpool.
Yep.
They win both of those games in hand, which might be a long shot at this point.
Yeah.
Puts them on 56 points, which is level with Liverpool. Manchester United will have quite an eye on the Europa League towards the latter end of the stages, knowing that can guarantee them Champions League football, whereas the top four is much more of a battle. I just wonder if Arsenal could sneak into it, providing they somehow arrest this rot.
Yeah, definitely. And if you're looking for course and distance form, they are the only side in that top six who finished in the top four year on, year out, every single year with regularity, even when it's looked unlikely at stage in the season. They've always managed to find themselves there come the end of the season. Whether or not that is going to be the case again this year is open to question, obviously. And they have to pick their form up. I mean, losing four of the last five for a team going for a Champions League spot is obviously not ideal. But they've been there and done it so many times under this man, Arsene Wenger, and there probably will be people tempted by the 11-4. And as we mentioned, the games in hand situation just adds a whole other dynamic to it. It is a lot of what-ifs and whether they can win those games in hand. But yeah, 11-4, it wouldn't be the strangest thing we've seen in Premier League football for Arsenal to make the top four again.
Picture this scenario, Sam. Arsene Wenger turns Arsenal around. They win the games in hand. They end up finishing fourth in the Premier League. They win the FA Cup. It's exactly the same as what happens every year at Arsenal. He gets another contract and Arsenal fan TV explodes.
Well, it would, because as we mentioned earlier, there are Arsenal fans who have not been content with a top four finish and an FA Cup win in years gone by. So there's no reason they'd be any more content with it now. Arsenal fan TV would explode.
And probably a lot of Arsenal fans along with it.
But I think the majority of Arsenal fans at this point would definitely take that, given the position they're in. I know a lot of them, you know, the top four isn't a trophy, but you still want it.
If you can make,
that's for sure. You'd rather be in it than not in
if
it.
If you can make Champions League football every year and still win a trophy along the way as well, they don't know they're born, these Arsenal fans.
I know.
Try being a Leeds or Wolves fan like ourselves.
It's not bad. It's not bad.
Let's look at the other end of the table. Relegation market. Sunderland 12-1 on to go down. Middlesbrough 4-1 on. It's 4-9 for Hull. 11-4 for both Crystal Palace and Swansea. Watford are 12-1. 14's Burnley. Leicester 14s now as well, and Bournemouth are 16-1. Are Sunderland already doomed?
Yeah, I think Sunderland are, and I also think Borough are probably gone. They don't score enough goals for me at all, Mark, and that's a very obvious thing to say. But I mean, even Sunderland have outscored them, and they've had a worse season. 20 goals scored in 28 games. Romelu Lukaku on his own has scored more goals than Middlesbrough this season, and I think I can't really see where the goals are coming for them. Alvaro Negredo is their top goal scorer with 7 goals. It's been a good few months since he scored a goal from open play. Ita Karanka's gone. Steve Agnew will probably be given the job until the end of the season, which always is something that I find quite bizarre when you sack a manager and then appoint the man who's been his number two. I can't imagine the side of play is going to change radically. Just from a personal perspective, when Wolves sat Mick McCarthy and gave the job to Terry Connor in the Premier League all those years ago, it didn't pan out too well. It is working for Leicester, obviously, but whether or not that was a case of the players not wanting to play with Claudio Ranieri, I don't know. But I think Borough under Steve Agnew for the rest of the season, I don't see them changing, and they just don't score enough goals for me. So I think Borough can join Sunderland as gone at the moment. The market I was interested in, we've got obviously to stay up or to get relegated markets. If you go into the to stay up market, Hull are in the betting there at 13-8. Now, I've been fairly impressed with Hull throughout the course of the season, even before Marco Silva took over. Every time I've watched them, I thought they're actually not that bad, given their lowly position. Marco Silva's appointment was lambasted by a lot of people when he took over, given his lack of Premier League experience, and his credentials did come under scrutiny there. But I think they're playing quite well at the moment, Hull. Yes, they lost 4-0 at the weekend to Everton, but realistically, how much did they expect they were going to get out of that game? They got a crucial victory against Swansea a couple of weeks ago, and I think Marco Silva might just get them playing good enough football to stay up. So at 13-8, I would take them. As to who goes down at Hull's expense, I think Swansea are playing really good football under Paul Clement. Crystal Palace are, I think, fourth in the form table at the moment. You would think that Leicester now, under their resurgence, under Craig Shakespeare, are probably safe. And you go all the way up to Watford. I think Watford might be that team that plummet like a stone. We get them quite often in the Premier League season. They look comfortably in mid-table for a long time, and then they just drop out of nowhere and end up maybe only just surviving. But they're 12-1 to get relegated. It might not be Watford, but I just feel that the teams playing in between Borough and Watford are all playing quite well at the moment. And with Borough and Sunderland, in my mind, gone, it might be a team that just absolutely plummets like a stone and gets relegated. I mean, Burnley will probably be okay based on their home form. I mean, away from home, I think they've picked up 2, maybe 3 points all season. But if they can keep playing well at Turf Moor, they're probably fine. Then after that, it comes Bournemouth, West Ham and Southampton. You would imagine that all three of those are going to be safe. But it wouldn't surprise me if a team does drop out of the clouds, someone like a Watford, and gets relegated. But I think the bet to have for me is Hull to stay up at 13-8.
Are Leicester now clear of this? The reason I ask is because they're obviously doing well in the Champions League. They're through to the quarterfinals. Say they get hammered in the quarterfinals, suddenly the feel-good factor's disappeared again. That could impact on the results and the fitness and the fitness of the squad in the Premier League. They might have changed the manager, but this Craig Shakespeare feel-good factor may wear off. And don't forget, these are the same group of players that chucked it in under Ranieri. The likes of, you know, Vardy and Mahrez and stuff that are playing well at the moment might just not fancy it again.
Yeah,
not saying that's what that might have been the case before, and if that is the case, then it could all go terribly wrong for them once again.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just at 14-1, it might be a sporting play.
I mean, they're definitely not clear of it, and I think all it takes is one round of Premier League fixtures, and all of a sudden they're right back there with a bump. You know, if they get beaten by Stoke after the international break, and Palace pick up a good result, and Swansea pick up a good result, and Hull pick up a good result, all of a sudden Leicester are like 2 points clear of the drop zone again, 3 points clear of the drop zone, and it all starts sort of comes out again, doesn't it? But I think they probably will be safe, given that I think two are already relegated and only one more will go down. I don't think that one will be Leicester, but they're definitely not out of it at 14-1, and it could all come crashing back to earth if they taste a heavy defeat in the next few weeks.
Yeah, in terms of footballing ability, they shouldn't be anywhere near, should they? But
no,
it's just that scenario that's already almost happened once. Should we leave that there with the Premier League chat?
Yeah.
We've got international football to look forward to this week. We've got a big game in Germany on Wednesday evening. The old enemies, Germany, taking on England. Germany 8-11. The draw is 14-5, and England are 4-1 in the markets. In terms of form, Germany in very good form. They got knocked out by France at the Euros and haven't lost a game since. But then again, you could say the same about England. They got knocked out by Iceland. Not quite as good as getting knocked out by France. But they haven't lost a game since. And if you look at recent meetings between the two sides in Germany, England have actually won the last three meetings between the two sides in Germany.
Yeah.
Which is a reason to make me consider 4-1 possibly being too big.
Possibly. I think England have responded quite well to being knocked out of the Euros. I was a little bit worried there might be a bit of a hangover from that, and that they'd maybe lose a shock game just on the back of it. But they haven't, to be fair. Should have beat Spain, really, in the last friendly. It took, I mean, they were 2-0 up in the 89th minute and only managed to draw the game. But with it being a friendly, everyone took the performance out of the game, and the, you know, the performance was good, it has to be said. So I think England have responded well, and as you mentioned, they've won the last three visits to Germany. It's almost a year since England won there in Berlin. They won 3-2 on that occasion when Eric Dier scored the winning goal. 1-2 on the time before that, and of course the time before that was the famous 5-1 victory in 2001 with a Michael Owen hat-trick on that occasion. So in the past they have proved that they're capable of scoring goals on German soil. On this occasion, I'm worried about the squad that's been called up in terms of striking power. A year ago, Mark, it seemed as though we were in a great place for England strikers. And Kane was in great form, Sturridge was in great form, Vardy was in great form. Rashford only played a few games, but he looked so exciting. Even Rooney could still do a bit of a job. You look at that quintet now, obviously Daniel Sturridge has struggled with injuries, but he's struggled when he's been fit as well, to be fair. Vardy's not been the player that he was last season, albeit he's resurged a little bit now under Craig Shakespeare. Harry Kane is still living up to the heights of last season, but he's injured. Wayne Rooney's injured. And Gareth Southgate has gone with just the three strikers for this. Jamie Vardy in the squad, Marcus Rashford as well. Jermaine Defoe gets his first England call-up since he left for the MLS some 3 years ago. He probably deserves his call-up, but at 34 years of age, how much new impetus he can offer to the squad, I'm not sure. And I was amazed that Theo Walcott wasn't called up, to be perfectly honest. I think he's had a decent enough season, has probably merited a return to the team, and the fact that he can play up front, I thought he'd be called up to potentially bolster that attack. With those concerns about the strike force, I can't see England scoring too many goals here. I mean, we do have a good clutch of talented midfielders. If you don't agree with that line of thinking, but you agree that the strikers perhaps aren't going to contribute, then Dele Alli at 14-5 any time probably has to be looked at. I mean, the form that he's been in goal scoring this season, he scored 18 goals, he scored 4 in his last 4 games. So if you agree with me that the strikers won't score, but you think England are going to get potentially get a few, then Dele Alli at 14-5 is by far and away the best goal scorer bet from an England perspective. The bet that I really liked, but I don't like the price, was England to score under 1.5 goals. So England to either score 1 or 0 goals. But it's 1-3, and I'm happy just to leave it at that price. But I don't see them getting too many on the score sheet. Another thing that sort of points in the direction of low goals is Germany often play with a bit of a false nine. So Germany often pack their midfield anyway. It's usually spearheaded by Thomas Müller, who's having a bad, bad season by his standards. He's only scored 2 goals in the Bundesliga this season.
He can't get in the Bayern team,
which is quite incredible. So the fact that he's struggling a little bit, and he's usually the focal point of that false nine, wouldn't be too worried about him scoring. If Germany do play a different formation, or if they go with different personnel, they've got sort of a system that is very interchangeable. Mario Gomez is 21-20 any time. He's got 3 in his last 3. Timo Werner has been ripping it up with Red Bull Leipzig this season. He's very much deserved his call-up. He scored 14 goals this season. But whether they play him from the start, obviously, of course, with this being a friendly, goes without saying, check team news. But Timo Werner at 7-4, if he gets the nod, I didn't mind him playing for Germany. Those who are a fan of sentimentality bets could notice that it's going to be Lukas Podolski's final game in a Germany shirt. He's 7-5. But again, can't really see him starting in a game that's his swan song. So if Werner does start, and I'd quite like to see him start, then 7-4 for a man who's been in rampant form with Leipzig this year as a goal scorer looks pretty good. But all in all, as I mentioned, I think under 2.5 goals at even money in this match could be a real play. I just think, obviously, I'm guessing the formations that we're going to play. I cannot see England having more than one of those three strikers on the pitch at any one time. Can't see England going 2 up front. And even if they do play one, as mentioned, we haven't got a Harry Kane in there. It's Vardy, Defoe and Rashford. If Germany play their false nine that they often do, we could see the ball spend a lot of time in that midfield area. Granted, neither side have got the greatest defence, but Germany have actually kept a clean sheet on their last 3 outings. So under 2.5 goals at 2-5, in a game that I've not got a mad strong opinion on, probably looked okay for me. I think outrights, I mean, Germany were 3-4 a little bit earlier on in the day, which I didn't think was too bad. That's come under a bit of pressure. That's now 8-11. So I'd probably go for the under 2.5 match goals at even money in the hope that England only go with one striker, Germany only go with one striker, and we just see plenty of the ball in the midfield. Because I also think both Joachim Löw and Gareth Southgate are going to try and focus their teams around tightening up the defence a little bit, because I think that's where both teams at full strength probably are a little bit weak. So I think there could be a defensive impetus on the game from both managers, and under 2.5 goals at even money, not too bad for me. But of course, check team news first, because if we get a shock and Southgate plays 4-3-3, then it could go a different way. But I didn't mind that under 2.5.
Germany to win and under 2.5 goals, by the way, that might be an angle, and if people are leaning towards Germany, it's 3-1 on the flip side, 13-2 for England to win in under 2.5 goals in the game. Perhaps can nick it 1-0 or something.
Yeah.
That's always a way to try and bolster your returns if you have a very strong opinion on over and under goals, I suppose. Best bet out of all that, because it's a bit tricky, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And as I say, it's a friendly, we all know that, so I won't be going crazy with any bet. I do like the under 2.5 goals at even money. And in a slightly contradictory vein, if Timo Werner starts, I like him at 7-4. Obviously, I've gone low on the goals and I'm putting up a goal scorer as well. But I do think it'll be low scoring. But that doesn't mean there'll be no goals.
No.
And Timo Werner has had a really good season and deserves his call-up. So if he starts at 7-4, given that, I mean, Mario Gomez is the favourite, but Muller still takes a good chunk out of that market, and I couldn't have him on my mind to be scoring a goal, to be perfectly honest.
Mm-hmm. This is probably the worst England side that's gone to Germany in some years, but I still think that 4-1 might be too big. I need to stop being so patriotic.
Well, potentially. I mean, it's not the greatest Germany side we've ever seen either.
No, but it's better than England.
Oh, yeah, it's better than England. But yeah, I think a good England side went to Berlin and beat them 3-2.
Yeah.
Last year, but without a real informed, potent goal threat. And the most informed of the three strikers we've taken is Jermaine Defoe.
Yeah.
And that isn't saying a great deal.
I wonder if it's just teed up for Dele Alli to have a worldy performance. Perhaps, he's playing very well.
Yeah, and you know,
just in behind the strikers, you imagine.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, and I think if you are going to back an England goal scorer here, that 14-5 about Dele Alli is considerably better than the prices about any of the strikers, and he's in better form than the three strikers anyway. There's no reason why you wouldn't take that 14-5 if you fancy England to get a few goals, but I think one maximum here for England.
Okay. Well, should we leave it there? Anything
yeah.
else to add?
Let's know. No, that's no. about it.
Well, thank you very much, Sam. Good luck and enjoy it Wednesday night.
Cheers, Mark.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.